98.3 Nigeria in Croy. Very lovely, great morning to you. Welcome to the second part of Dailies Today from our studios here on Nigeria Info. I'm Sheriff Quadri. I have Liberos Oshoma joining me live in the studio this morning. Liberos, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Sheriff. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Happy New Year to our listeners.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You can watch on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Just search that and we'll pop up. You will be able to watch live on those two platforms, Nigeria Info 99.3. And drop your comment as we go along the headlines this morning. Let's start with this one here on page 4 of the Nation newspaper. Wike confident of victory for his preferred presidential candidate. What's your thought on Wike's Wike and his allies and the PDP?
Wike only has one state. The other governors, whether they control their states in the same way Wike controls his, because he's to a large extent, you say, yes, it's a done project that will win him to the people. Whether he will, other governors can say the same. Yeah. The G5 governors, Autumn, for example, is not singing the same tune with Wike. And we also know that in Benue State, the ranks are very divided, you know, among the various political parties.
That's right.
In Enugu, for Oguayi and Abia, Abia, the governor does not control the political, you know, apparatus of his party in that state. Ditto Oguayi. So, and you also know the party that is almost like it's coasting home in that region. Even though the traditional politicians are singing a different song. So I can't say the same of those other governors. And for Sheyi Makinde, even some members of the party are not with him, just like some members are not with Wike in Port Harcourt, in River State, sorry. And then, but Sheikh Makinde will need alliance of other political parties to, you know, truly, you know, Oyo is a very peculiar state.
Right.
Apart from Ajumobi, you know, for the first time, right from Lamu Adesina's time, it was difficult for one governor to always win a second
term. To go twice, yeah.
So for Wike, he can't boast about his own state. He can't say, I will deliver my state. But delivering all the states, the G5 states, will be a tall order for him, no matter how much he spends. So, and especially now with the era of social media and this formation on the superhighway.
What do you think the PDP should do? I mean, are these G5 governors hurting their chances?
Yes,
or they're just trying to position themselves. So maybe at the last minute, they just come back into the fold and then there's excitement and all of that.
Because you can't consistently throw stones from within. And then, you know, a lot of damages would have been done. Even though we play politics of consistent inconsistencies, a lot of damages would have been done. And then by the time you come in, nobody will take you seriously. You know, so there is nothing the PDP could have done. It is not about just Iyocha Ayu, you know, stepping down as national chairman. It's more about Anatiku's presidential ambition. Because you remember, in 2019, all these persons supported Atiku because then it was, Pa should move to the north, Pa should remain. The LA did not do their remaining 4 years, and then Pa should now move to the south. So it is more about people, some persons will say, it's Wike's personal ambition, yes, to a large extent, but also there is a sense of justice in their demand, also that look. Atiku has consistently contested for these seats. He sees now as his chance. But also, there is this sense of inclusiveness. You know, power has remained in the north for 8 years. It is, you know, equitable and justicia for it to now move to the south. The same way in 2011, the north were agitating that, no, after the demise of Yar'Adua, it won't be equitable for you guys to retain power. But it will be easy also for you to say, yes, the same thing Wike did in Rivers. He took over from a fellow Ikwerre man, so he cannot be shouting equity here. But these are some of the issues where, you know, some places are also looking at to say, look, Nigeria is more complex than that equerry arrangement. Mm. So it is. So now let them begin to look beyond the G5 and see how they still have people in these states. Like I said, Abia and Enugu, they shouldn't really lose sleep. The two governors, you know, perform abysmally low. So they shouldn't lose sleep over Abia and Enugu. But for Wike, he will do a lot of damage to them in the South.
The governors have been saying they want to announce their preferred candidates. Who would you suppose most likely they would endorse?
I do not think all of them will endorse a particular candidate, because for the Southeast, it will be traditional for those two governors there to go in the direction of the wind blowing there, which is Labour. Then for Wike, you know, you can almost say that when he talks, the way he talks, it's almost certain that he might likely endorse APC. Knowing the kind of person he is and the kind of politics he plays. For Makinde, being in the Southwest, you know, APC will fit him best if he goes in that direction. But whether, I think Folarin, who is governor there, you know, will allow that endorsement to work is another thing. So it's a bit dicey. And so that is why now there are still, you know,
It's looking like the G5 governors themselves are in between the rock and the hard place, because if they're going to endorse anybody, they won't just endorse just like that. They will be looking at deals to be struck here and there. And
all of them are going to the Senate, apart from Wike and Makinde, who is gunning for a second term. The other three wants to go to the Senate. Mm-hmm. And so you have candidates in all those other parties also who would want to go to the Senate. But then the issue is, can the party afford to sacrifice their candidate in those places? It happens, they do it.
That's the APC now.
If they are supporting the APC, for example. Will APC, in River State, the APC candidates, you know, there have been battles, you know, back and forth.
They just won their case that they can contest.
Yeah, so there have been battles. So APC will weigh all of these chances and see if, you know, that will, if they can, that alliance.
Do you think APC is ready to sacrifice their candidates on the altar of their presidential candidates at the national?
The question they will ask themselves is, even if they go the O-Hog, will they defeat Wike in Rivers? If they go the O-Hog, if they know they will defeat him, they won't go into the alliance. But if they weigh their options and they find out that no, aligning with Wike, you know, will give the same result that ordinarily they would have if they go the O-Hog alone, but it would give them mileage at the center, and then they will go into that alliance. But in the other states, even with or without those governors, they also look at their options. For example, the Labour Party in Abia and Enugu, they will look at their chances and say, with or without these governors, you know, we'll put the weight that we want. But it will also be good if they are on their side.
Right.
You know, because if they are not there, they barely can scratch 25% for the party they are going into. So that 25% also will add to the numbers. So any politician would not want that. You also look at the gap, not just winning, you also want to look at, you know, the gap. So they will put all of this in the mix. And that's why I said I don't think the four of them would want to endorse
one particular candidate.
Yeah, because it depends also on the region you're coming from. For Shehi Makinde, his best bet, now that it is known that he's, you know, we're not with his presidential candidate, you know, you can almost certainly say that in Ibadan, for example, you know, that the two dominant parties there, is either APC or PDP. And so if you're not with PDP, you might likely want to go with APC, because they also are waiting in the lock to drag the carpet off your feet.
Right. It's looking like all the parties in this drama, they are all living on the edge. Like anything can happen.
Yes, anything can happen. And then if you don't take your steps calculatively, so you might just miss it and it will cost you. You remember in Oshun, then you had that fierce battle between the Aregbe faction and the Oyinlola faction.
That's right.
But eventually, Oyinlola left PDP and moved into APC. And people were like, So this politician, and the way they quickly reconciled, and you know, some persons died even while the matter was at the tribunal, but they reconciled, and you know, everybody, they shed their sword, and it was politics as always. So it is the same thing. You look at in Edo State also, just fresh in the last election in Edo State. You know, you already had candidates in the PDP who were warming up, you know, but at the end of the day, negotiations, which is till date, is still, you know, raising dust. Negotiations and compromise were entered into, and, you know, the candidate stepped down, you know, and they gave the governor the tickets.
So
all of these things, we see it play out.
Oh, politics, politics, politics. Let's go to the Daily Trust Asset. Court stops DSS from police, CCB, from arresting INEC chairman. Let me read that story. A federal Capital Territory High Court has stopped an application seeking to remove the chairman of the Independent National Electric Commission, INEC, Professor Mahmoudu Yakubu, from office over alleged false asset declaration. And Justice M.A. Hassan on Wednesday refused the application alongside the 14 reliefs brought by the claimant. The judge held that Yakubu's asset declaration was ruled himself and or stepped down as the chairman of INEC pending the investigation and consideration of the various allegations against him by the various law enforcement agencies. The plaintiff also sought an order of court stopping the INEC chairman from holding or assuming any public office for a period of 10 years.
I think the APC as a party should be very careful at this time. You remember in 2015, some members of the ruling party, then the PDP, you know, tried to prevail on the then president to remove INEC chairman. Even though the president saw the handwriting on the wall, but he didn't take that step because he knew fully where the implication. So also, not too long ago, recently, there was an attempt to get a court order by the DSS to arrest the CBN governor. And while that was on, also this application was filed. CBN, INEC. And so you now be asking, is it that you can't rule out the ruling party from all of this? Let's not begin to, you know, say, okay, some these are independent organizations or that is an individual. You remember in 2019, one chap filed an ex parte application at the Code of Conduct Tribunal that led to the remover of the sitting CGN. And so the court also probably had learned their lesson to say, look, we made a mistake with that one. So this time around, we are going to scrutinize every application that comes before us, asking, you know, for somebody to vacate office, you know, frivolously. So INEC chairman, that's why the APC today as a party, when they were in opposition, they also agitated for the insulation of the office of the INEC chairman from politics and the appointment, or the special appointment. And then they talked seriously about the Always Panel report, Always Panel report. But today they are there, and nobody is discussing about the recommendations of the Always Panel report that will, you know, ensure also protect the office and the tenure of the INEC chairman. So all of these applications, and I must say one thing very instructively, I'm not trying to deride any tribe, but I want to say Nigerians would have said it if this had sailed through Soma Dinner. They'll say, oh, another Igbo chap. We should be careful, because strategy. If you remember in 2019, it was one unknown Igbo chap. We should be very careful also as a people. These times are very critical and dicey. We shouldn't allow people to use us for selfish gains. What would be the benefit of this person for going to, this is second term. Are you just remembering now, or just realizing that the INEC chairman is a code of conduct
for asset declaration
form? You know, it's questionable. A few days to election, you're seeking a court order, not minding whether you throw the nation into darkness. So Nigerians, a lot of us should be very careful what we allow, you know, the powers that be, you know, do to us. And then people will say, no, you can't blame APC for it. As the government of the day, a lot of people will say they will stand to benefit if, and at least they just snippet of it. But even in the documents that were filed in court, nothing, nothing substantial was placed. No material evidence was placed before the court to allow the court take a decision, you know, whether to grant application. It was just so bereft of evidential facts. And that's what Justice Soh also said, that there's nothing here.
I read the story, and at one point, the story, you know, stated that Mahmoudu Yakubu presented us some documents, because the complainant was talking about some assets and all of that, and presented evidence of where he got money to procure those assets. And the judge said, look, you have no, this is frivolous. The man has presented all this thing that you have raised. So why are you still going on with this case?
It is obvious that is a hatchet job. It is not, because if it's about asset declaration, first and foremost, you even carry out a detailed investigation before you rush to court.
That's right.
You know, sometimes some people just want to be in the news. Oh, but then forgetting also that some of these decisions you're taking today might jeopardize some person's future. Not just that one person that you're talking about, but the entire future of a nation, a generation. So you be careful. You do your detailed investigation before going to court. And today now, that name will be mentioned in ignominy. Oh, this person was used by certain person. Even if it's a public interest matter, you need to also, you don't just rush to court over public interest litigation. You also need to do a detailed investigation so you don't make a mess of yourself. And getting to court, and the court is saying, look, there are answers to all of these questions that you have raised. If you had bothered to even, you know, find out, you would have gotten the answers you needed. So
Indeed. Now
the only conclusion I can draw is that, look, he didn't want answers. All he wanted was to be used, you know, to carry out a hatchet job. But unfortunately, let's hope that no other application will come few days to the election.
Let's hope so. Let's go to This Day newspaper. There's this story here that reads, nationwide fuel scarcity may worsen as tanker drivers threaten strike. It's almost as though that nobody is talking about this fuel scarcity anymore.
We are used to suffering. Like Fela said, suffering and smiling. You know, now you have... yesterday, I had half tank. I had to quickly refill, you know. So now, you know, it's common. People buy, I bought at 250 yesterday, you know, because there was no queue. And then when you see at 170, 160 something, you know, there'll be queue.
That's right.
So we're not discussing it again. We're so used to it now. All we're bothered about is let the election come and go. Nobody discusses Buhari again. Anyway, we're just counting days. It will soon go. But he's still the president. There's still a lot of responsibility he owes us. So what is happening? The tanker, independent marketers are saying the cost of landing, this subsidy or no subsidy, this price regime can no longer carry the cost of landing. So if you say you have yanked off subsidy, allow the forces of demand and supply and market forces predominantly to determine price. So you can't still fix price. It's unrealistic. So if we truly want to say no more subsidy, let it be so that people can, you know, be
adjust to the new reality.
Yes, adjust to the new reality and be saved of this nightmare. But trying to manage the crisis because, you know, elections approaching might eventually worsen the crisis. Now, tanker drivers are that way. Years ago, we'll be talking about transporting these products using pipelines, using train. 8 years down the line of this administration, nothing has happened. And so, tanker drivers will down too. The crisis will worsen. A lot of people couldn't travel. Apart from insecurity, a lot of people also couldn't travel because of the crisis. And they also should know, the candidates should know that this is also an avenue for them to win and see how, you know, they can, you know, find a lasting solution to this. Because the mantle of leadership will fall on them. And they will inherit this. Yes, but anyway, you know, when you inherit problems like this, the first thing you do, you quickly try and solve it. Then people begin to praise you, the low-hanging fruit. But this is also a time to use your campaign, you know, opportunities to try and find a lasting solution to it. And especially the candidate of the APC.
Right.
Because
right.
This will likely affect him also in the election. You promised us that, you know, fuel was going to be available. The price will be reduced. You're going to build refineries. But today, the build-up to the election, we are queuing up to buy fuel in a country that is producing oil.
Unfortunately, the other day, the Burundi government came and went to Asaroc and asked President Buhari to help them with their energy problem. And President Buhari said they will do what he can. And even told the NNPCL to, you know, come in.
See, and the problem with our president is that he likes solving the problems outside. Maybe he's not, long sights now that he sees the problem outside quicker than the problem within. A lot of people have accused him of assisting Niger much more than Nigeria. And some people have even said he's probably from Niger. But I've been to Daura and some of the border communities around that area. Mm-hmm. In the evenings, they stroll across each communities and, trade and hang around. So I think that the president should look inward first. Solve the problem here. We have an energy crisis, fuel crisis here. Our refineries are not working yet. You're paying salaries because it is not the fault of
the workers
that you are not providing job for them. It's part of labor law. Whether you provide job or not, you owe them that responsibility to pay them salaries. And even, the crude that we are pumping, it's going into some private hands.
Yeah.
And we don't have a solution to all of that. So the president should look inward and then lock the borders the way he locked the borders to promote agriculture and solve the problem within before you now begin to promise people outside. And NPC have not been able to solve our fuel problem, and then you are promising Burundi. Even the Burundi that came, maybe because they know that the man has binoculars, he sees problems. So he might likely quickly attend to them than attend to his own problems just, around his nose. But a lot of people it's been a talking point.
Yeah.
And then people are saying, look, why don't you solve this problem here instead of promising Burundi?
Especially right now, time.
Right now.
Because we are in the same problem that Burundi is in.
Yes. And we're even worse because our population is more.
That's right.
We're even worse. And also, tanker drivers are threatening to down to. And so the crisis might trigger, more problems and a multiplying effect. And yet, you are promising, an outsider to solve their problem when you have not even solved your own. The reason the outsider probably came is because they know that, after all, he solves Niger's problem, donated vehicles to them, even though they denied that one, that the Niger government said they didn't receive, building the railway line from Nigeria to Mardi, and all of that. So we might likely just also assist them.
Okay.
But that would be counterproductive also for the candidate of the APC.
Let's go take another look at this story here that says, discos hike electricity tariff secretly, consumers kick. And this won't be the first time Liberals... Yeah,
they've been doing it secretly. There have never been a time they came out publicly to say we want to hike electricity tariff, because once that is done, people will complain. So it's been secrets. It's been, you just wake up. Because a lot of people also don't check. You go, you don't even bother about the units. You just recharge for 20,000. And now almost every week or 2 weeks, I recharge for like 20,000. And so you just wonder, this season in my area, we've had lights because, reasonably well. And so you think, this is why. But when you sit down, really look at, you go back to your old bills, what 20,000 could buy for you then, and then you cross-check with what 20,000 is buying. And you're like, these people have increased tariff unknowingly.
Right.
And so, but...
Do they owe their customers that information?
They do. That's where I'm going to. So they owe the customers the need to know. Look, we are going to increase tariff from so-and-so time. Even ordinary hotels do it. They give information to their hotel, to their customers, that from this date henceforth, there'll be a little adjustment in our price. But I think why they do this thing in secrecy is because of the backlash. The first time they even attempted it, there were a lot of backlash.
That's
and that forced the government to intervene. So now what they just do, because they know a lot of us don't read silently, codedly and quietly, they just adjust these things and then we'll complain and the government won't even answer, and then we'll settle in. We'll say, okay, let's just have the light.
Yeah.
We can pay for it. Nigeria is the cheapest in terms of electricity tariff. until after some time again they were just it's a merry-go-round and we don't know when there'll be an end to it.
Yes, we do not know. What we do know is that we would have to end the show at this juncture. Liberos, thank you so much for joining me. Liberos will be back at 9 o'clock for Daily Digest. It's always a pleasure to have him on. Lagos, we'll take a break, bring you the news. After the news, we'll discuss Health Thursday. I Care is our topic this morning. Stay with us.